Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Returning now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and to the last section of the chapter. And more teaching on the subject of Christian liberty. Thankfully, because that not only was an issue in Paul's day, but it continues to be an issue in our day. And there are a lot of people who misunderstand Christian liberty, and therefore, not surprisingly, a lot of people who misapply their understanding of Christian liberty to their lives, and since it's a misunderstanding instead of an understanding, then the results are not in line with the Word of God. And so we need this kind of teaching. We need it to be very clear. Now, the issue arises over the question of meats offered to idols, a big, big, big issue in Paul's day in regard to the church at Corinth and most of his other Gentile churches. Because the vast majority, the members of these churches, were saved out of pagan idolatry. They had been born into an idolatrous society, and they were steeped in idolatrous culture. And many of their friends and even family were still involved in the worship of idols and the activities that involved worship of idols in temples, including, not everything was just going to the temple to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering or something like that, but there were religious meals, communal meals. We would call them fellowship meals. Most churches conduct those in their church facilities, and sometimes, well, I won't go into all the details there, but I don't have to elaborate upon that. You know what I'm talking about. Well, pagan temples did the same thing. They had communal meals, fellowship meals, you might say, at their facilities, which was a time for family and friends to gather together and to enjoy a meal together and a good time of fellowship. But the problem was that it was not just strictly a fellowship meal. It was also connected with the worship of the idol whose temple they were attending. And there, the meat offered to idols was very much involved in an act of idolatrous worship. So in chapter 8, when Paul answers the question, is it all right to eat meat offered to idols? He says basically, yes, you may eat it. Take it home and eat it with your family, no problem. But now, in chapter 10, he comes to a different answer. When the question is, can I eat it in an idol's temple, at a communal meal, with other people who are idol worshipers? And the answer is no. In that case, you may not. So that's why this is challenging, because when it comes to issues of Christian liberty, the answer is not always an unequivocal yes or no. Often, the answer is, it depends, and people don't like those kind of answers. They don't want to wrestle with the circumstances that make it right in one situation or wrong in another. But that's the way it is, and that's why we need to learn these things. It depends. Sometimes a particular activity that is perfectly acceptable in one circumstance is unacceptable in another. Can you handle that? Can you learn that? Can you follow these instructions? I hope you can, and we continue this study for that very purpose. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, January 25. Thanks for the financial support that enables us to do this. All right, this is the beginning of the section, 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul says, "All things are lawful for me," but he goes on to say, "not all things are helpful." All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Now, right there on the very surface, you can see that Paul is saying some things that are acceptable in general have to be restricted in particular. Does that make sense to put it that way? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Paul, as it were, extends a liberty in a broad general way. All things are lawful for me, but then he pulls it back when he says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Here's two circumstances that make something that is lawful in many circumstances not lawful, or at least not glorifying to God in other circumstances. So, Paul is taking the particulars of meat offered to idols, and he's broadening it out into general principles in the category of how to exercise Christian liberty. Now, we saw on the broadcast yesterday that the statement, all things are lawful for me, is not an unequivocal statement. That, too, is a terrible mistake made by some people. Paul is not saying that all things, without exception, are lawful for me, because in this very same chapter, he says, idol worship is not lawful for me. In this very same chapter, he says, sexual immorality is not lawful for me. And on we could go. I'm not going to go back to all of that again. So, context is king. You have to interpret the statements in Scripture in the context in which they're found. And so it becomes very clear that the statement, all things are lawful for me, means all things that are not forbidden. If it's forbidden in Scripture, it's not lawful for me. It's never lawful for me to steal. It's never lawful for me to commit adultery. It's never lawful for me to participate directly in idol worship. These things are forbidden, always. They are never lawful. So all things are lawful for me are all the things that are not forbidden, that are not spelled out, that are not dealt with in Scripture. Those things are okay. If God doesn't forbid it, then I may participate in it. Meat offered to idols is a good example. The Bible does not specifically forbid Christians to eat meat offered to idols. And now that we have the New Testament Scriptures, the New Testament specifically allows that, since that's the question that some people asked Paul. Is it okay? And Paul said yes. All things are lawful for me if God hasn't forbidden them. But, back to the other question, we know from Scripture that participation in idol worship is not lawful for me. So when it comes to the question of meats offered to idols, you have to distinguish. Is this meat offered to idols being eaten in the context of idolatrous worship? In that case, no. You can't do it. It's not lawful for you. But is this meat offered to idols eaten in the context of a meal that is disassociated from idol worship? If the answer to that is yes, then it is lawful. Really, that's not all that hard to figure out, but somehow we get all hung up on these things. But that's really the answer. If it's not directly and clearly associated with idol worship, it's okay, even though the meat was offered to idols. You see, that's kind of a tenuous connection that does not need to be emphasized. I tried to illustrate that on the broadcast yesterday, trying to show you similar circumstances that relate to the question of involvement in Halloween activities with your children, or even the celebration of Christmas or the celebration of Easter. And I know that there are some people who are quite convinced that those things are forbidden for the child of God, but I think on the basis of what Paul is teaching here and elsewhere about Christian liberty, that's the wrong answer. Those activities are okay as long as they are not clearly associated with and actively participating in pagan worship, false worship. Just because they have some kind of tenuous connection with those things does not make them forbidden to Christians any more than eating meat offered to idols, which clearly has a tenuous connection to idolatry, nevertheless is not forbidden because that connection is not clear and obvious if it is removed from the actual act of worshiping an idol. But when you move it into the idol's temple, eat it in that situation where it is clearly identified with idolatrous worship, you might say, but I'm not doing it. In my heart, I'm not worshiping the idol. But there you are in the temple of an idol in a ceremony involved with idolatrous worship. Therefore, in that circumstance, the same meat that's okay to eat at home is not okay to eat there. So all things are lawful for me that are not forbidden, but they're not all harmless. And we've got to understand the difference. So in the exercise of Christian liberty, we may participate in whatever is not divinely forbidden. All things are lawful except whatever has been declared unlawful. That's really what it boils down to. All things are lawful that have not been declared unlawful. Don't you try to declare things unlawful that God's word has not. But that's not the end of the discussion. Okay, it hasn't been declared unlawful, but is your participation in this profitable or helpful for godliness, for Christ's honor? Is this participation in this activity edifying? Does it build you up? Does it build others up? You see, there are more questions to ask than simply, has Scripture forbidden this? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. And he goes on to say in verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. In other words, the purpose of Christian liberty is that we might be free from unwieldy restrictions in order to do good to others. The purpose for Christian liberty is not to free us up to have a good time and indulge ourselves. It does allow us to partake and involve ourselves in things that some people think are forbidden, and they really aren't. It's a misunderstanding of Scripture, but that's not the point. That's not the purpose of Christian liberty. The purpose of Christian liberty is not to say, whoopee, I can do these things even if other people are bothered by them. I can, oh boy, I don't know where to start inserting specific activities. I really don't want to do that because I want to leave this in the area of the broad general principles that we can then use to apply to any and every situation. So the whole point is that legalistic thinking focuses on self. Think about Jewish legalism and all of the things that were involved in that, self-righteousness, self-doubt, self-performance. But legalism also denigrates others. It's judgmental, it's condemning, it's avoiding others, and that's not pleasing to the Lord. But there are some other considerations. We'll have to take them up tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.